All right, here we go. Well, I better get the right Bible. I tried it before, not using the right Bible, and it doesn't work. Second chapter, verses 1 through 8. Here we go. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I want to call your attention to the word in verse 7, the word iniquity, which means lawlessness, and then in verse 3, the word falling away, which comes from a Greek word, we get the word apostasy from, that means mutiny, against authority. The last day shall be characterized by mutiny against authority. And I believe we are in these days now, don't you?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, that's something. All right, 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of good, those that are good. Does that sound like today? Huh? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Notice how it equates it with godliness. Now, I don't read the same thing in the New American Standard Translation, 2 Timothy 3, 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. How many know that we're in difficult times? If you think that it's easy to be a Christian, that's because you're not a Christian. You're playing church games. You're trying to make the thing work for you. It can't. You cannot con it. It's dark, and it's going to get darker. And God has a specific program. I'd be telling you something other than the truth if I painted a rosy picture. It's not going to be rosy. And you need to know it. And you need to get it down in your soul. But men have often faced difficult times. Men will be lovers of self. And I think this is one of the main characteristics of our day, that people do things without regard to the consequences to other people. We were, Audrey was to a seminar that made quite an impression on both of us. Audrey and Rosemary drove up on child molesting. And this has become quite a thing in our nation. Did you know that? Have you noticed that in the papers? Constantly. It seems every issue of the paper, someone else has been arrested for child molesting. I was talking to Fila Tafoya Friday night, and she said for the last 2 years there are many books that have come out on this subject because it is so common. It's very common for fathers to molest their daughters, for family friends to molest the little children, which in turn is causing a spirit of violence within the youngsters so abused, so that they predict that there'll be a great surge of violence when the generation of children which presently are being molested reach maturity, because psychologically they have been very seriously damaged. I've had some inkling how common a thing this child molesting is, fathers with their little girls and so on, but I had no idea of the staggering proportions that it has attained. It is truly a monumental problem in the United States of America, and it is going on in the Christian homes. There's a lot of things going on in the Christian homes because the Christian church has not been under judgment. It has been believing that grace is an alternative to godly living. That misunderstanding of Paul, combined with the spiritual oppression, is causing the Christians to do sinful things. Now, they would not even confess it to themselves, but they are doing it. They are doing it. Christians are molesting their children. But if the church has been contaminated with this, you can imagine what is going on in the world. So very strict laws have been passed concerning this problem, because little boys also are being molested. So this is one of the symptoms of this: men will be lovers of their own selves because they do not consider the consequences. If it feels good and you want to do it, regardless of what it is, do it. And our religion is not strong enough, even the charismatic move is not strong enough to combat this. The only way that this kind of spiritual darkness, which is on us today, can be combated, is as you become a true Christian. And if you are living like the average charismatic, you are not a Bible Christian. I know down in the movement, I thank God for tongues and speak in tongues as much as anyone in the house. I appreciate the gift of tongues, and I appreciate the reality of it. But tongues is a means to an end. It is not the end. The means of all of God's gifts, the end of it, is godliness. And it's this godliness that is being overlooked at the expense. See, spiritual phenomena in our move, and other moves have their problems too, but in our move, the spiritual phenomena are being stressed at the expense of righteousness. Righteousness is what the Bible is all about. Genesis to Revelation. And so I want to warn you this morning, in the name of the Lord, it is going to take more than an average Christian life to survive. And if some of you have been guilty of the sin of which we have just been mentioning, then you do not give up in despair. You go to God and say, "Lord, I repent of not having lived a strong enough life that I could perceive that I was doing wrong. I was sucked into it because of the flesh pot condition of our nation." The church will have to be 100 times stronger than it is to combat what's coming. Amen. How many had a chance to see David Wilkerson's current letter? Just a few. Everybody should write and get it. His address is David Wilkerson, Lindale, Texas. That ought to get there. World Challenge, I guess, is his outfit, but Lindale can't be that big. And ask for the current one that has to do with his dream of violence in America. And what he is saying is that there is going to be great violence, which psychologists also are saying. But in addition, he brought out the point... lost my train of thought. Praise God. He brought up, about we Americans. Now again, I want to get and saw on this old log, and I hope you don't misunderstand me about the television. Now I am not saying do not watch television. That is not my point. I do not preach on external forms of holiness, because holiness has to come from within. It doesn't come because you stop chewing gum. It has to come, holiness has to come from the heart, and it differs from person to person. Sanctification is a highly personal business. But let me say this, and hoping you understand, I am not condemning the television. It is only a cathode ray tube that has been geared up to receive images and translate it. It has no moral thing is in there. What is wrong is what's coming over it and where it's originating. And as David Wilkerson brought out, we Christians sit and look at violence and drinking and think it's making no impact on us. It is making an impact on us. And just remember that when you're sitting and watching something, don't watch something that you wouldn't do in reality. If you wouldn't drink, don't watch people drinking. If you wouldn't murder somebody, don't watch people murdering them, because what you are getting through the eye gate and ear gate is affecting your spirit. And the same thing with the current lyrics of the country music and these other things. I've never preached about country music in my life. But we must awake to the fact that we are not living in an age when things are so good that we can dabble a little bit and not pay attention to the lyrics. The country music is almost all about men shacked up with somebody else's wife. That's the main lyric. And the thing in the kids' things that the kids listen to, and I have no big hang-up on rock and roll. When I was growing up, the big thing was the Big Apple. How many have ever heard of the Big Apple? Well, good sister back there. Well, that's why I don't get concerned about it, because it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. That isn't where the action is. And if the Big Apple were current today, people preaching against the Big Apple. That's not the problem. Or peculiar dance forms or whatever. It is what is communicated. It is what is being communicated. And what is being communicated is past sex and past lasciviousness. It is down to gross and weird forms of murder. And do not think for one moment that these are not entering into youngsters and that they're not going to do it and that your youngster won't do it. Or my youngster won't do it. Don't think that for one moment. Those things are coming from the pit of hell. And they have an impact on you. And the television will get worse as the American people are willing, and don't protest too hard, because that is what he is after, is to pump us full of booze and murder so that we'll never do it, but we'll sit and watch it and we are in a stupor. And that kind of life will not stand. In the days to come, the spiritual venom that is being poured out into the spiritual realm is too full of poison. It's too contagious that the ordinary person can take a little bit here and there. Possibly that was true 40 years ago. A person could go and dance the Big Apple and the next day go to church. Never bothered them. We're in a different ball game today. We are in times when people are doing awful things, and we need to take radical steps to go in the opposite direction. Amen. And your home and mine ought to be radical. Amen. And I have a sympathy, and I've counseled people in the church. You cannot come on youngsters and say, this is what you're going to do, like it or leave it. I could offer you a nice little equation like that, I would, but you cannot do that. It takes a whole lot more out of you and me to train up a youngster. You can't load your trip on him. You've got to bear with the thing, make him mind when he's small, and as he begins to approach the time when he really practically can split, then it's going to be your job to do to make sure that he doesn't run off because of your religious arbitrariness. And I want to say that to balance. I'm not meaning radical in the sense that we are stupid as dealing with people or provoking our children anger. We have got to be on our face before God, and then we barely make it. And I believe if we do try hard, the best we can, and not say, oh, the child is, after I do all these other things, if my child isn't inconveniencing me, and then we have such slop as it's not the amount of time, but the quality of time, and all this other stuff that comes from the pit, or that the parents have some rights too, and all this other hellish stuff.
Our number one priority is God, and after that is our children and getting them to God, and we're trying to live them in the darkest days that mankind has known. And I'll have you know they admire breakdancing, and they admire the ballads and the singers of the ballads that are talking about murder. Let's have more blood. My own son was walking down the street 2 weeks ago, just taking a walk for exercise, and someone tried to kill him with a car. Ran off the road onto the shoulder, and he just heard it and jumped to one side. That is the result of the lyrics. It gets into you. It's going to be magnified tenfold over the next 5 years, I'm sure. That's not a revelation. That's just an observation of the rate of change in morality. In the last days, difficult times will come. They are not easy. And if you try to make them easy with any simplistic religious formula, you're kidding yourself. It's going to be tough. Gird yourself with the fray. Gird yourself. As we were reading last Tuesday night, it says, take heed. Take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine. Take heed to it. Go home today and look at yourself in the mirror. Say, who am I kidding? I'm a charismatic pillow of the church. I've got a marshmallow inside of me. And the first thing somebody goes wrong, I need more help than anybody else. Toughen up. God's going to need you. People are going to need you. Your children are going to need you. This is Christianity of 1984, and anything less than it is just kidding ourselves. Just kidding ourselves. Because it hasn't come into our home, we figure it's okay. Don't wait till it comes into your home. Prepare yourself. You would if there were Russians on the coast. You'd barricade yourself probably or do something. Well, it's far more urgent than that. Don't wait till it enters in amongst your children. And then say, oh, I better do something about this. Do it now. Live for God. That's all you can do. And pray like mad and make the best decisions you can. And God will help you. Do you believe that? He'll help you. He will help you. He knows. Men will be lovers of self. That's today. Boy, if it doesn't make me feel good, something's wrong today. Lovers of money. Well, we don't have to emphasize that. Boastful. We need to be humble in speech. Arrogant. We need to see that as we see the third world countries and these other nations come up. Leave us not feel because that we're Americans, we're better than anybody. We're not better than anybody else. Somebody down somewhere in the middle of the jungle sitting in his mud hut is just as good as we are. I think sometimes there's a spirit of arrogance. You see this when you're in another country and see the Americans come in shopping. Honestly, you'd think angels from heaven had come to bless the nation with their presence. Arrogant. Revilers. Not afraid to speak evil of dignities, it says in another place. Call the governor of the state by his first name. The president is Ronnie. You know, that's an abomination. That's an abomination. God isn't pleased with that kind of thing. Trying to cut people down to size by calling them names. Get the right name and put it on it, and that'll do the thing. That'll show our contempt for all authority. Don't participate in it. We're not revilers. We don't revile anybody, saved or unsaved. Disobedient to parents. Well, we've all experienced that, I'm sure, and I've done it myself. And I have some. When I see my mother and dad, I have to ask their forgiveness. Ungrateful. Ungrateful. Not remembering to be appreciative of what we have, but thinking that the world owes it to us somehow. I believe it's our material possessions that will cause violence. You give people enough things, they're just like kids that get too much. They become bullies. They become brutal. It's just like the material things won't appease anymore, so they've got to go outside of that. And that will happen to us. Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. That is, they get bitterness and hatred and say, I don't care what anybody says. I could never be reconciled to this situation. Malicious gossips, without self-control. Haters of good. Treacherous. Not meaning what they say. And we see this in marriage. The most awful things. A guy will come home from work. His bank account's cleaned out. Children are gone. His wife is somewhere. Or vice versa. Isn't it so? Honestly, you'd think a man would be chivalrous if he left his wife, that he would leave her everything that he had, the car and everything, and go out. He's the worker. But no, it seems like the men want to leave. They get their concubine. And then they take everything and leave their wife that they swore at the altar of God to take care of to death destitute. Destitute. I cannot understand this reasoning. How can a man live with himself? How could some woman marry such a man after he alienating his affection and then taking the things which rightfully belong to the first wife? How could he, that man, face himself shaving in the mirror to be so lacking in chivalry, if nothing else? Well, either one, he doesn't care if I could call her up on the phone and abuse her. I don't remember that when I was a child. It may have been true, but I think things are getting worse. Seems like there's no honor. A man that do a woman in, as far as I'm concerned, is less than a dog. I don't know where I learned chivalry. Somewhere it got into my head, women were the weaker vessels. I know this is on tape. And I still believe it. Because the Bible says so. And Peter says, give honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. That's what it says. So it's got to be true. Don't treat a woman like another man. Don't care how much she wants to be a man. Ought to be chivalry somewhere in the world. Man, oh man. Reckless, it says. Getting, you see, we saw Audrey and I were driving on Escondido Boulevard yesterday, and we pull up because the light is at that yellow time, you know, you can either ram it through and take a chance with your life, or else you can break the car and stop and jar people, the occupants. Well, we, rather than get creamed all over the highway, we stepped on the brake and stopped at the light. But some guy behind us went through that thing, and he was through on the yellow, and the last part, if you could see him, he was going so fast, was on the red. I mean, he went, this is on Escondido Boulevard, corner of Mission, downtown. He must have been going 50. Oh, brother, sister, that's stupidity, if nothing else. That's recklessness. If some poor old lady had started out across the street, he'd have knocked her all the way down to Valley Parkway. That's right. The rate he was going, he'd have carried her all the way to Valley Parkway before he could have stopped. It's recklessness. Conceiters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we've heard a lot of talk in churches, and I think David Wilkerson and others have mentioned about entertaining the saints. But we ought to have nights to entertain the saints, or they ought to have a stereo or something and get themselves entertained. Everybody ought to have some entertainment. But the church of the living God is not the place for it. There's plenty of places for entertainment, and a human being needs entertainment. But the house of God is not a place to be entertained when the nation is full of child molesters. There's no time for it. Time. That's my viewpoint. Probably picked up on that. Lovers of pleasure. Holding to a form of godliness. See, it's in the religion. They have denied its power. Oh yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. I am. For among these are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. Impulsive, carnal, soulish Christian life will always captivate weak women, and the whole thing will be a mess of sin. Always learning. Always some new doctrine. Always some. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Oh, I got a book. You ought to read this book. It's far out. Shun it. Read the Bible. Hallelujah. Never mind this strange stuff that is coming. Some new wrinkle so we can avoid righteousness. Always learning and never able to come. You've got to keep something novel going so you can talk about it. I will not do it. The Bible is enough. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Well, I feel this is what God wanted me to preach on. That's why I'm doing it. All right, now, I want to give you a little outline here of what's happening, what we can expect, where we're going. I'll never get through it this morning. But I guess I've said about all I want to say. We are in a time now where there is, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, a spirit of lawlessness. This is the characteristic of it. And this is going to get worse. And lawlessness always creates spiritual darkness because God is a God of law. Now this is not going to get better. This is going to get increasingly worse until Jesus appears. And when Jesus appears, the world will be saying peace and safety, because they will have a world that is smooth without any reference to God's law, and whoever wants to do his thing will do his thing. So consequently, there will be a lot of violence, because when you want to do everything you want to do, pretty soon you infringe on somebody else's rights. Isn't that right? You say, I'm going to let my dog run loose. Well, the moment you do, you infringe on somebody else. I want to drive at any speed I want to drive. You infringe on somebody else. I want to drive and drink. You infringe on somebody else. So if we're coming to a time when there is lawlessness, law that keeps us from doing what we want to for the sake of other people. So we're heading for a time of the most unbelievable violence. And in David Wilkerson's dream, there was some considerable violence, I'll tell you. The whole place erupted in violence. And I don't think that's too far off. He thinks it's a dream from God. I think he's right. I think this violence is just below the surface in our nation. And any day it could blow up in a major city where people go crazy. I remember reading, and this must have been 10, 15 years ago, of a place up in Canada, one of the provinces of Canada. I think it was Quebec, way over on the east there. And this police force was striking. As I remember the narrative, the police force was striking, and they had withheld the police service. You know what happened in the downtown of the city, whether it was Quebec or Ontario, whichever one it was? I believe it was Quebec. People went crazy in the streets. Ordinary citizens smashing windows. One guy was running down the street. He just smashed a window and he'd taken out a fur coat. And someone yelled at him and says, that for your wife? Heck no, it's for my girlfriend. These are just ordinary people. Years ago in Canada, which I think is a fairly conservative place. What would happen in America, in the cities, if there were no police? Someday the police won't be able to hold it. This is going to increase until the end. Nothing is going to change this. We are in this now in America. It is already taking its toll. And unless we repent as individuals, we will not stand. I'm not positive whether there's going to be a national revival. I'm not positive. There could be. But if you're going to stand, you're going to have to be a different person. And so am I. I mean, we are going to have to get fierce. It is hard to see. It is hard to pray, and it's becoming harder all the time. And we are going to have to recognize that we are going to be in a difficult time from here on out, and we are going to have to pray like mad to survive and for our loved ones to survive. All right, the next thing that is coming is the latter rain revival, the great witness to all nations. And this will go on in the midst of the apostasy. As I see it, it will not materially alter the apostasy. It will just happen in the midst of it. Much as we have people getting, in America, they get saved, but they're not always changed. People come in, they hear the gospel, but you see, God's plan. Now, you have to understand this, or you'll misunderstand what's going on. God's plan is to bring in as many people as He can into the kingdom. And I believe that during the latter rain revival, that the majority of people on the earth will confess Christ. The majority of people will confess Christ. But what God does, He uses anybody and everybody. Anybody that'll get out and work for God, He will bless. He'll use you. He'll use you. And He'll pay you off. This doesn't mean you're His friend or anything else. Don't be deceived with numbers. Numbers is not where it is. God wants them in. He says, let the net down and drag it all in. Beer cans, starfish, rocks, clean off the bottom. At the end, we'll do the separating. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So, we have to look to our own business. Don't confuse revival with spirituality. They're two different things. All that God wants in the revival, He wants His word to go forth to every village, nation under heaven. He wants them to hear. As many people today have never heard. He wants them to hear of Jesus and that the kingdom of God is coming. He can't come until He is borne witness. And if you will go and do that as God leads, pray for the dead, God will raise them. These are not the works of the sons of God. These are signs that God wants to give so the nations will know this message is of God. It is not time yet for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's not where the action is. The action today is on the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom to every nation. And God is going to do that by His power, and is doing it today. Some of the largest churches of history are coming into existence today. It's no time to fool around and get a handful of people here and there. God wants the whole nation to hear and be baptized. Praise the Lord. Well, it won't happen in America. We're jaundiced, but there's a lot of nations over the face of the earth that have had very little gospel to this date. And God wants them all. Just take them, baptize them all, preach the gospel. Just preach it. Not to build churches, do anything. Just preach it. The kingdom of God is coming. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto every nation for a witness. And then the end shall come. It has to be in our day. The latter rain revival. The greatest revival of all time. But the lawlessness will be leavening the nations in the meanwhile. We're on a steady course to the coming of the Lord as far as the apostasy is concerned. Another thing that will go on at the same time is the perfecting of the body of the Messiah. Now, these two things are things that you can do. Those two things are things that you can do. They're separate, but they're things that you can do. And you say, well, how do I do it? I don't know what my ministry... First of all, I don't know what my ministry is to the body of Christ. The thing to do about that is to ask God about 8 times a day with a glass of water. Huh? Ask God. Keep asking Him. Say, Lord, please give me a ministry in the body of Christ. Lord, I'm available. I'm doing my work. I'm doing it the best that I can. But Lord, I know this is transitory. Oh God, in Jesus' name, raise me up, Lord. Have you been doing that? Come on, come on, come on. What does it say? Desire the best gifts. The Greek word is covet earnestly with a fiery zeal. Now, did you pray this last week for a place of service in the body? If not, you're not doing what the Scripture commanded. It will not come on you like you walked out one morning and the rain came down on your head. You have to ask God. Now, how long do you think God is going to leave you impotent if you're asking Him for a ministry? Don't tell Him what the ministry is. Don't figure it out in advance and say, what God wants me to be is this and that, because then that will confuse the spiritual realm. Just present your body a living sacrifice and ask God. The Holy Spirit gives to every man. Huh? 1 Corinthians 12. As He will. You have a gift, but it's probably not using it because you've never prayed to use it, and you're not in a place to use it because you're busy in the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, well, I know what my ministry is. I want to stand up in the church every Sunday and do so and so. Don't tell God what your ministry is. Don't say, oh, I've got such and such a burden and all this. That can very easily trap you. Don't go so much by prophecy. This was prophecy. That's not the way to find God's will. The way to find God's will is say, oh God, steer me this day. And when your eyes are open, you'll find out you're in the middle of God's will. That's how you find out God's will. It's worth more than 15 visions. Just to get your head knocked in by the world is worth more than 15 visions. Because that's the way God steers us. And then we get away from our religious fripperies. You know, how many know what religious fripperies are? The Lord told me to tell you. I have a word for you. Religious fripperies. Have you noticed they don't come to pass? And then when you ask the Lord, why didn't they come to pass? Oh, I speak in dark mysteries. Nonsense. Religious fripperies. Flee from them. Flee from religious fripperies. Get into the mainstream. The muck of the thing. God leads us down here in the mud. Just say, Lord, I'm tired of religious fripperies. And I want your leading in my life, Lord. Here I'm not doing, I'm supposed to be building up the body of Christ. And as far as I can see, all, I'm not doing anything. Lay that on the Lord. I speak reverently. Tell Him, press His Spirit with that thing. And God will lead you into a ministry. Don't go by prophecy or somebody's word, for heaven's sake. It'll get you all off target. Well, you're trying to be a prophetess or a prophet or an apostle or something else, and God has something altogether different for you. You have no idea. Let the Lord lead you. But don't quit praying. Don't say, well, He didn't answer my prayer today. I guess I have no ministry. The Lord doesn't love me. I'm just worthless in anything. Don't give that routine. Get up the next day and start in again. That's the way you get something from God. Now, as far as this other thing is concerned, pray about that also. Say, Lord, I'd love to go out as the apostles went in the early days and witness to the nations. Let's see, one is building up the body. The other one is a witness to the nation. To be a witness to the nation, you've got to be called to that. He called unto Himself the 70. And He sent them out two by two. You can't go as an apostle unless you're sent. Huh? And ask God about that. Tell Him 80 times a day, Lord, that You said in the last days, Matthew 24:14, I'm ready to go. Brother Thompson said, you don't have to, it's a simple doctrine. Jesus is coming and He's going to judge the world. Believe in His name and be baptized. You have anyone around here that's demon possessed? Bring them over here so they get delivered, because I got to go tomorrow to the next village. That's the message. That's all you need. Building up the body of Christ isn't like that. It's an extraordinarily complicated thing that has all kinds of ministries interacting in unbelievable complexity. But the testimony of the world is not like that. It is grossly simple. Here He is, Jesus. Believe on Him. He's the judge. He's coming. The kingdom is coming. I'm going on to another village. It'll take you all your life. There's villages all over the place. Never even heard of Israel, the Bible, God, Jesus, or anything else. There are in northern India. There are in Africa. A fellow told me that from Tanzania. He said, we got a place here, they never heard of the Bible, Jesus, or anything else. But you can't go unless you're sent. So you've got two jobs, and I have two jobs. One, to build up the body. Every member contributes. If you're not contributing in the body, you're kidding yourself. You're not living for God. You're living the traditional American, go to church on Sunday and try to be good kind of stuff, and it is too weak to stand. And you're going to be held before God for not using your talent. You've got to pray and ask God. And keep it up. And you'll find yourself in the middle of it without realizing how it happened. Huh? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, well, I says amen. Now, this is going on. Then will come, after the latter rain of revival abates, and it will abate, and the spirit of lawlessness will become purely manifest, it will be the time of lawlessness, of Antichrist, who I think will be a man, though His spirit works in us. Most Christians will be in Laodicea. Most. Matthew 24:12. The love of the majority, of the plurality. That means Christians. The unsaved don't love God. The love of the majority will grow cold. They will not cease being Christians. They will go into the type of church which is all people and all doing things together and not in the Spirit of God. That church is here today. And the majority of people saved during the end time thing will go into that church. There will be, the saints will be hidden away. We say, oh good, I'll be hidden away in my little tent. Let me tell you, that's going to take a lot of faith. Why can't you go into the city? You cannot buy or sell. How long do you think you could live in Poway or Escondido if you couldn't buy or sell? How long would you last? Could not buy or sell. You can't. We have to live. And if you give in, and Antichrist will be a very reasonable fellow, He's not going to come on like Godzilla. He's not going to come on in an apparent manner that you can say, wow, this guy is really the Antichrist. It's going to be just what we have today. A lot of Christian work without power. That's going to be Antichrist. And he's going to be the head of the government of the world. And he's going to be very reasonable and say, look, I'm going to support that church of yours. You've got a great thing going. And then on the understanding will be, don't get too spiritually excited about it. Watch the tongues and the prophecy and that. Remember, we're trying to win people, not drive them away. And we don't want to get the government all excited, because then if we get cracked up as a religious fanatic, then we lose our little number and we can't buy ourselves. This is the way it's going to be. Not coming on, you know, like it's obviously the Antichrist. It'd be reason. The appeal to reason. Come on now, you know this has got to be right. What did we exist for? What did Christ save us for? Wasn't it to help others? Yeah, that's right. Well, let's get on with the program here. What do you want to be a nut for and expose your children out in the wilderness to die of something? I'm not asking you to do anything. Just be reasonable. If you want to have your private devotions, that's up to you. Just be reasonable in public. How many Christians do you think can withstand that? Especially if the consequence was to take you and your kids or your baby out where there was no milk, no doctor, no food, in the cold and in the wet. Some night, 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the winter, freezing cold, get up with your baby and your children, and God says, move. Are you sure that's the Lord? Are you sure, God? It's awful cold out. Oh, I don't open the door. You ready for that? We're weak. We're soft. Huh? We've got to be tough. And endure hardness. Remember the arenas in Rome? Those are your ancestors. Those are the people that brought you to the place where you are now. The mothers and dads and babies in the arena. When you're going to be facing a very smooth administrator who has the respect of all the religions of the world, and you're going to defy this like some kind of a radical nut, because in your heart you know we ought to obey God better than men. And we do not do what you say whether we eat or don't. We do what God tells us. And if God tells us to shout in the middle of the street, we're going to shout. And furthermore, we don't want a nickel from you. Not one shoelace. That's what Abraham said. King of Sodom. Oh, we're so nice. We're all together too nice. Oh, Brother Thompson, the 20th century, we've been so brainwashed by the organization, man, that we don't know what straight talk is. We're too nice. I love the way Abraham responded to the king of Sodom. Now, the king of Sodom was a nice fellow. He was wealthy and he was influential and he appreciated what Abraham had done. Abraham had to finally get his own troops out because the king of Sodom, for all of his wealth, couldn't stand. So Abraham rescued his nephew and the king of Sodom in the meanwhile. And the king of Sodom came up to bless Abraham. A nice guy, a real nice guy. What would you do if he came up? He was just wanting to be friendly. He said, here's some of the booty. Take it. You've got a big family there and all your men. Give them all some of this. Nice guy, real nice. Just think, if you were friends with him, that would give you all that and the trade and everything. And it would just be nice. Blessed are the peacemakers. Abraham said, I looked this joker in the face and in his most insulting terms. He said, I will not take from you, you Charlie, the one I'm pointing at, I will not take from you so much as a shoelace, lest you should say you've made me rich. Now that's insulting talk. Do you know what? That's honest talk. What was in back of Abraham's mind? What he's saying was, you are a wicked man and I don't want any part of you. That's what sinners need to hear sometimes, because what we do by our desire to be praised and flattered ourselves, we destroy the testimony. Now I'm not talking, you know, about any arbitrary foolish behavior. I'm telling you, the day has come when we're going to quit playing nice organization man and start talking truth. There's a time to be politic and nice. And then there's another time when people need to hear the truth whether they like it or they don't. That's honest. It's not self-centered. And then finally all this will climax with the appearing of Christ. And you can imagine, can't you, the dismay of the people in the Laodicean churches, their families, their children, everything. They believe that they're Christians. Positive they're Christians. And here's this group of radicals out in the wilderness. Nobody knows where they are. They've dropped out of sight somewhere. And they're shining like 1,000-watt bulbs and being gathered together by the Lord. And the Lord being so selective, here's two people in one field. One's taken, they're both Christians. One's taken and the other left. Two in one bed. One's taken and the other's left. How can you do this? How do you think the church will react? How do you think the organized church will react when Jesus doesn't do what they want? What did they do in the first century, the organized church, when he didn't do what they wanted? Murder him because of their statuses involved. Here the minister and everybody's made to look like a fool. The people are saying, why didn't you tell us that it was wrong? Well, the poor guy didn't know himself. He'd been raised in the stupor. He thought it was all right. He couldn't penetrate and see the difference because he wasn't a man of prayer. He was the man of the people. He was a man of the people and not a man of God. He wasn't a prophet. He was just a good administrator. Why didn't you tell us? I didn't know myself. Let me have a place with you. I'm cast out. I have no place to go. Let me go wherever you go, congregation. And God's prophets come out of the wilderness, invincible, mighty men of war, caught up in the sight of Antichrist, the nations, and the Laodicean church, to be with the head and to return with him upon the Mount of Olives to rule the world. And we are at the beginning of it, the countdown. The last days. Lord Jesus, we thank you today, Lord, that you are warning us. Oh, dear Jesus, I praise you, Lord, as we sit in our comfortable affluence, watching our televisions, at ease in Zion. Lord, I pray that this day, on this Sunday, that there will be many who will say, I see it, and I'm not cutting the mustard. I am not praying for a ministry. I am drifting. I am not radical in what I'm doing. I am going with a course of least resistance. Oh, Jesus, I pray. Lord, in your goodness and in your mercy, shall we stand before the Lord? Agree with me in prayer this morning, saints. We need to pray once again. And it isn't because it's us here. We're no worse than anybody else. It's just that it needs to be done in every pulpit in the land and every place where people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to shake ourselves. In the name of Jesus the Lord, we come against this spirit of lethargy, this antichrist spirit of stupor. We come against you in the name of Jesus the Son of God, and we bind you at the root, and we cast you out of this church in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave our minds, our emotions. We command you to leave us. We are the church of God. You have commanded us to arise and put on our beautiful garments. And we are going to do it in Jesus' name. We are not of this world. We are not of this world. We belong to you, Jesus. And we need you. We need you, Lord, to come. We're poor, we're needy, we're arrogant, we're helpless. We're lovers of ourselves, brutal, treacherous, incontinent. God, help us. Help us. By your mighty presence, your fire, and every other thing, Lord, have mercy on us. And lift us out from this sinful generation, that we may stand as prophets of God and show our nation the difference that what God is, what His will is and His word. Oh God, if you don't help us, we're goners, Lord. We're going to sink beneath the weight of the darkness until we're not even able to pray, just hoping that soon it'll be over. God, make us militants. Give us, Lord, the power and the zeal and the grace to overcome the darkness and to live in light. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.